Good morning, everyone. This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 126A. I didn't go on with it last night. And we are making our way through this book as carefully as may be possible. Well, perhaps not as carefully as may be possible, but with as much intensity and directedness as may be possible. And as I said, I am hoping that it will provide for people food for thought and help expand the knowledge of esoteric astrology and a deeper and broader perspective on our cosmos and how we fit within this cosmos. We have studied the constellations of the zodiac through which the rays majorly express at this time, realizing that at the end of the Aquarian Age, the ray may change to another constellation within its particular ray triangle. At present, ray 1 Aries, ray 2 Virgo, ray 3 Cancer for the mass anyway, though Capricorn for the disciples, ray 4 Scorpio, ray 5 presently Leo, though changing to Aquarius, ray 6 Sagittarius, and ray 7 Capricorn. It will be noted that in this tabulation that several of the constellations find themselves in more than one of the triangles of energy, showing therefore that ray 4 is relatively inactive. And why is this? That's not it, is it? Why is this? Let's take a look as soon as I get my... There it is. All right. This is because we find that Taurus and Scorpio are only found in the Ray 4 triangle. If, for instance, you look at Capricorn, it is found in the Ray 1, Ray 3, and Ray 7 triangle. Aries is found in Ray 1 and 7. Gemini, interestingly, is only found in Ray 2 triangle. Cancer in Ray 3 and 7. Leo in Ray 1 and 5. Virgo in Ray 2 and 6, Libra only in the Ray 3 triangle, Scorpio only in Ray 4, Sagittarius actually in Ray 4, Ray 5, and Ray 6, very present in a certain sense. We have to see how powerful it is. Capricorn, as I said, in Ray 1, 3, and 7, Aquarius only in the Ray 5 triangle, and Pisces in Ray 2 and 6. So we see that this particular, both rulers of Ray 4 are found only in the Ray 4 triangle and not in others. Is there any other case where both rulers are found only in the particular triangle? Well, we might say that for Ray 5, no, it's not. It's not. So, Ray 5, we have Leo in Ray 1 and 5. So, let's say two of the rulers in the Ray 4 triangle are found only in the Ray 4 triangle. Is this the case with any of the others? Well, it's not the case with the Ray 1 triangle. the Ray 2 triangle, no, because two of the rulers are found in two signs. The Ray 3 triangle, no, because Cancer is found in two signs and Capricorn in three. Ray 4 triangle, I've gone over. Ray 5 triangle, no, because Leo and Sagittarius are found respectively in two triangles and three triangles. Ray 6, no. Because Virgo, Sagittarius, and the Pisces are all found either in two or three triangles. And Ray 7? No, because Aries is found in two, Cancer in two, and Capricorn in three. So it's only the Ray 4 triangle in which two of the constellational possibilities are found only in the Ray 4 triangle. And so this, when this is the case, the Ray passing through the triangle is not strongly active. This will mean, this is because there is only one triangle in which this Ray can make itself felt as present. Now, even in the Ray 1, let's say in the Ray 1 triangle, there is a Capricorn, but it means, I suppose, that as a subsidiary Ray, we will find Ray 3 and Ray 7 associated. So it's a very intricate interweaving. And that, is, as I said, is what, to my view, Master DK excels at presenting. Who am I to judge, you know, the capabilities of Masters, but in terms of what he brings to human thought, it is an amazing interwoven picture. When it comes to Ray 7, like Ray 1, is active through all three points, even though Aries is the most potent and active. So simply because a ray is associated with a constellation doesn't mean it's active. Ray 1 is associated with Leo, but Leo is so tremendously active today that, as a consequence, the first ray coming through it will be active, as we have been discussing. Capricorn is very active today. But for Ray 1 purposes, Aries is the major conduit. So he has to tell us whether the ray is active through all three points. We will see that Ray 4, for instance, is not. We will see that in each one of these triangles, or in most of them, it is one point that is particularly active. Ray 6, as might be expected, is equally expressive and effective. Presumably, active in Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, and is strong today, and when this book was written, and will be strong until the first part of the 22nd century. We learn on page 26, approximately 26 of Esoteric Psychology 1. Five of the constellations, Taurus, Gemini, Libra, Scorpio, and Aquarius, are found in only in one of the various triangles. And only, well, presently only two of them are the major conduits for their ray, Gemini for the second ray and Scorpio for the fourth ray, and Aquarius will be for the fifth ray. So presently only two of these five are the major conduits for their ray, i.e. Gemini Ray 2, Scorpio Ray 4, and later, or impending, Aquarius for Ray 5. We are entering an age when the personality ray of humanity will be the fifth ray, and much light will be thrown upon the subtle energies in which we live and move and have our being. Taurus, Ray 4, is not active exoterically, as the fourth ray is not in manifestation at this time. If the fourth ray were in manifestation at this time, then perhaps all of the conduits for Ray 4 would be active. Now, Sagittarius is active at this time through its association with Ray 6, which is still very potent. But there's a hint here. As Taurus may be active esoterically in the case of disciples and initiates, working through the harmonization, the beauty of life, and the realization, the connection between beauty and truth, or beauty and illumination. Light comes from the Buddhic plane. A pure reason, a synthesizing, harmonizing light in which things are seen in their proper relationship, and Taurus is the great sign of light. So we can expect that at some point it will become more active exoterically during the fourth ray period. At some point soon, even in 1924, there was an increase of the fourth ray. Taurus will become more exoterically active. Yes. Through Scorpio, Ray 4 is focusing esoterically the work of the world disciples, preparing them for initiation. Is there any exoteric focus of Ray 4? Well, since it's not yet an incarnation, is there any exoteric focus of Ray 4? Since it is not in incarnation in this cycle yet, though coming in from its monadic aspect in 2025, perhaps not. Although if it enters via its monadic aspect, will it necessarily be exoteric? And if it enters in its monadic aspect, does that mean that those for whom the fourth ray monad is prominent as a subsidiary monad, that these will be the ones who come into incarnation, but perhaps not the fourth ray ashram of fourth ray souls? That's a question. I like to ask questions, realizing that if one does ask questions, eventually they will be answered by another who knows, or even preferably by one's own intuition. Gemini is only found in the triangle of Ray 2, and at this time Virgo and Pisces are carrying the major task of transmitting the second ray energy. though Virgo is, Gemini is said to be the foremost of the mutable signs, two of which are involved in the secondary transmission. Today the world is focused spiritually or materially, and the fluctuations of the pairs of opposites are much lessened temporarily. So Gemini would contribute to that fluctuation. There is presently a kind of stasis and not an alternation. Gemini, therefore, is the inactive point of the triangle, though still potent from the esoteric angle of the individual disciple or initiate. So we're talking about how much does the influence show up in an outer or exoteric way. That is our issue, our question. Now, when we studied Gemini before, let's see if we can find that. I'm using a word like powerful, but I'm not sure that it will bring us what we want. Gemini, iron lower, etheric body, Gemini. The effect is most powerful in Gemini owing to the fact that two arms of the mutable cross are here to be found. That the two arms of the mutable cross are thus related and the result of the activity of Mercury as it rules Gemini to produce a steady pairs of opposites. Well, we're going to get into that before long. Let's see if there's anything further. Well, Gemini certainly is the head of the cosmic Christ, we have been told, and therefore would be very potent in the life of disciples and initiates for whom this is meaningful. I wonder if we have a word like... I did discuss that. Leading. A third potency. Well, in any case, it was very prominent on the mutable cross. It was, in a way, the leading sign of the mutable cross, even though it is presently the inactive point. From the point of view of the world as a whole, because there is a sort of standoff between the positions, either material or spiritual, and not that growthful fluctuation which happens in the case of the aspirant. I did make a note of this power of Gemini, but of course it's back there in some program and I'm not able to retrace it. Suffice it to say that it is the inactive point, and it's one of the subjective signs, interestingly, and Taurus is the is an inactive point, relatively, because Ray 4 is not an incarnation, so we have two of them. But Aries, one of the subjective signs along with Taurus and Gemini, is not inactive. Libra is also found relatively inactive in the triangle of Ray 3, but I would have to say this, but its power is growing in the planetary horoscope. And so DK told us there's no real reason for pessimism or for loss of faith. This will be very important, bringing in a condition of greater peace. Today there is no true balance, but the opposition of spirit and matter is so violent that the Libran force is relatively quiescent. It cannot yet balance and harmonize this violent interaction. Ray 3 is expressing itself through Cancer as far as the mass is concerned, and through Capricorn on a much smaller scale in relation to the world disciples. So we could follow that ray 3 if it's present in our makeup, and if we are disciples, back to the sign Capricorn. Capricorn esoterically leads toward the externalization of the mysteries, and always ray 3 is involved in externalization. It may not be the finest type of externalization. We leave that to an aspect of the third ray, which is, in a sense, the seventh, to bring about the perfect expression in form of a particular energy or idea. But externalization is the third ray factor. Capricorn is involved in this. And for the mass, ray 3, education for the masses, you know, if we think of it this way, which was so necessary according to DK, and which we don't know whether it has really been accomplished. I think maybe not the way he had hoped. Education for the masses is symbolized by ray 3 in relation to Cancer. The will to evolve works, which is a ray 3 aspect of will, works out as education, among other things. That we'll reach later when we discuss these higher aspects of the will. Aquarius is not today the active point for the transmission of the energy of ray 5. However, shortly, as the sun passes more fully into the sign Aquarius, and now it's, you know, maybe 80 years since this book was written, or close to 80 years, the triangle will again revolve and bring the point into a controlling condition. Of course, the revolution, is it accompanied by any type of phenomenon? There's no change in the position in space, but there is perhaps a change in magnetism, a change in direction, a change in the relationship between the lord of a particular ray and the lord of a constellation. And that change in relationship, through an act of will subservient to a greater law, would be understood as a revolution. So if the two lords, one of a ray and the other of a constellation, come into a new relationship, then new and more intimate relationship, then there is a revolution in the triangle. All of that is on a very high level and under laws which are cosmic and are occurring within this being, a super constellation logos, which we are calling the one about whom naught may be said. It is interesting to have in mind that Ray 5 governs the evolution of consciousness through the revolution of its triangle. The evolution of consciousness? Interesting. Might have thought of the evolution of mind, but perhaps bringing more light to consciousness, perhaps. Through the revolution of its triangle, Leo, Sagittarius, and Aquarius. This is from the angle of hierarchical effort, as I earlier pointed out. These signs, particularly, are involved in the Masonic quest we have seen, and they have a, I believe there is a tabulation which includes these three together, leading from individual consciousness through a reorientation to group consciousness. Throughout human evolution, this major triangle governs the relation of humanity through the mind to the hierarchy. So basically what's being said here is the relation of the of humanity to the hierarchy is through the mind, or at least there is a major rapport through the mind. I suppose it can also be through the energy of love, but when we try to acquire the hierarchical mind, as more advanced disciples will attempt to do, this fifth-ray triangle is very important in that respect. Leo has so much to do with the concrete mind, and also with mind as it is found on the plane of the solar angel or the egoic lotus. There is a higher type of mind involved here. Sagittarius connects with the abstract mind and also with the intuition, because it's one of the intuitive signs. And Aquarius, the Great Bear and Aquarius relate to supermind, or to the universal mind. All of these types of mind are contained to some degree within the hierarchy. And the approach of that hierarchy to the human center of energy. So throughout human evolution, this major triangle governs the relation of humanity through the mind to hierarchy. This is something we want to remember. He tells us the qualities of these triangles, and in a way we have to collect them in our mind, in our memory, to remember how they work. There is a great search for light in Masonry, and these are strong Masonic signs. There are others. Capricorn has to be very strong as well. And in Masonry, the search for light goes on, and the fifth ray being the most luminous of the ray lords at this time, on what level we don't know. Venus is an example of luminosity, and it transmits the fifth ray. Well, perhaps we should say it emits the fifth ray. Transmission has come from a higher source through a particular lesser source. And emission comes from one's own quality, which does not necessarily come from a higher source. Every planetary logos emits its own quality and perhaps transmits greater qualities. Okay. And the approach of that hierarchy to the human center of energy through, you know, the soul, in this way, the soul illumines the lower mind. Let me recall your attention to the following fact in this connection. Now, hopefully, maybe I should look here at a some map that's a little bit more coherent, coherent here. Well. Yes, if this doesn't work quickly, I think I'll simply look at this, because it will give us a coherent view. Sagittarius represents the approach of the hierarchy. It was in Lemurian days. And it proceeds steadily always. The arrows are shot forth from the bow. Well, it's certainly the approach of the hierarchy of solar angels. It represents, in a sense, the past and the impetus given to connect, the impetus from either the solar angels earlier, 21 million years ago, or the hierarchy rather later at 18.5 million years ago, still persists. It results in mental unfoldment and the growth from instinct to intellect to intuition. And it represents the work of the Master Mason, at least part of it, to raise humanity to the mountaintop. And we would suspect in this case that Capricorn will also be present in the work of the Master Mason. Yeah, I would love to have these things just all together to raise humanity to the mountaintop. But I can't take time to do this. But that's more or less the way it looks, because here I can write in a few things. Now we go to, so it's the work of the Master Mason, the first part of the Master Mason degree. Here we can look at Leo. It's the work of the hierarchy, not just the approach. Sagittarius, interestingly, because it connects in a sense with the third aspect, is always moving from here to there. It's a sign of connection in that respect. It travels through space, as the third ray does, and connects this, which is present, with that, which is more remote. But now the work of the hierarchy to raise the mass consciousness. And some are emerging out of the mass and becoming points of individual light. It represents here the present to capitalize on the original impetus of this sign, which had to do with individualization. It connects with psychic development if the psyche is the soul. Since Leo is the sign of sensitivity, the psychic development is the increase in sensitivity, is the growth of the response apparatus and the synthesis of the inner awareness around a center, which is the identity. And it's the work of the entered apprentice to learn and acquire knowledge. Earlier, we saw that it was justifying knowledge, with Taurus being a principle in the acquisition of knowledge. But I suppose if you've worked out knowledge for yourself and you've proven it to yourself, that is the best type of acquisition. So I would like to somehow get this in order, if I possibly can. And psychic development, the growth of the response apparatus. Okay. And the synthesis of the inner awareness. Okay. I think we can do this. I have a better feeling about it when it... Well, maybe it's just not going to do what I want, you know. And it's the work of the apprentice to learn and to acquire knowledge. Now we look at what maybe relates to the future. And that would be Aquarius. It is, of course, a futuristic sign. And this is the achievement of humanity together in group consciousness. The self-consciousness of Leo gives place to the group consciousness of Aquarius. It represents the future and the type of cooperation that will occur, the merging of the human center and the hierarchy. Well, the hierarchy is ruled by Aquarius, just as the new group of world service is ruled by Taurus. So when humanity is affected by Aquarius, as it will be in the Aquarian age, the opportunity to merge humanity in the hierarchy is greater. Soul expansion under Jupiter, the esoteric ruler, and recognition of relation as all air signs tend to give. It's the work of the fellow craft, in which the candidate becomes accomplished in the arts and sciences. And it's the building and service of the temple of humanity through cooperative effort. And it represents the future, the approach of the hierarchy, the work of the hierarchy to bring the man forward as a developing unit for initiation and for greater luminosity, and then the true cooperation of the future. All of these are in process, and this is a this is the triangle which relates through the fifth ray, humanity and the spiritual hierarchy. Okay. Let's see if I suppose it's a little compulsive, isn't it, to try to get these exactly correct. It really won't work. But it's hard to stop doing it, you know. That's the trouble. Well, a great waste of time, perhaps, but, you know, one wants to write certain things in this, and I suppose if this had been a little bit smaller, it would have been, the font had been a little smaller, it would have been possible. But we are supposed to rebuild the shrine of man's living, and the shrine and the temple are very closely connected. Temples will appear in the Aquarian Age, and it will be, in a sense, well, at least under Masonry, more the temple than the church. So Aquarius is a sign of future understanding. One looks to the archetype, which is Uranus, and one includes that archetype under Jupiter and attempts to manifest the archetype right here on the physical plane, because Aquarius is so connected with the lowest and most material of the creative hierarchies. The true inner man is growing under Leo. He is a unit of the sun, in a sense, and Leo is related to his growth of awareness as a soul and even as a monad, eventually. And Sagittarius is representing not only the ancient approach of the hierarchy of man, but man's approach now to the hierarchy through aspiration, through vision, through one-pointed effort. But anyway, the way it's given here is the past, the present, and the future, and we see that the signs are, in a sense, out of order from this perspective. The signs given are out of order, with Sagittarius coming first and Leo second. Lastly, Aquarius in the proper order of the signs. So, this is the triangle. It has so much to do with the evolution of consciousness. This is from the angle of hierarchical effort, Leo, Sagittarius, and Aquarius. And I think it's important that we see that this is the approach of the hierarchy, the work of the hierarchy, and the future influence of the hierarchy to render man cooperative. The relation of this triangle governs the relation of humanity through the mind to hierarchy. We'd have to see Venus will be very important here. Venus, our alter ego on the earth and representative of our soul, the relation of humanity through mind, Venus, to the hierarchy. And if humanity is earthly, then the hierarchy is Venusian. One analogy in that respect. Okay. Let's move on here. He has given us a number of triangles. And it will be our task somehow to retain in our consciousness the meaning of these major triangles. And then, on the basis of what we know of these triangles and what he has said about them, we perhaps can figure out other triangles when we notice them. All astrological charts will contain significant triangles. And there will be a significant triangle between the ascendant sun and moon. That is And that will have to be understood in terms of the potentials of the human being whose chart it is, and then in terms of the sun sign, rising sign, and the point opposite the sun. They will not necessarily be in square, not by any means. The sun sign will give us the direction and intent of personality effort, the rising sign, the soul, and how the life of the individual can be brought closer to the center of his life, and the point opposite the sun sign, the more remote possibilities associated with the monad and with the realization of being. I've often said, you know, being is being, but there are seven ways of approaching the realization of and identification with being. And according to the seven monadic rays, which can at first be considered subsidiary monadic rays, in my view, will be this approach to being, the approach through power, through love, through intelligence, through beauty, through investigation, through devotion, through magic. The approach to being can be sevenfold. Maybe there are some better words, but I think you get the idea. From the standpoint of our theme, the evolution of consciousness, and let's say this is always the theme when studying the science of triangles, it must never be forgotten that the aim is to bring the solar angel, the son of mind, called in the secret doctrine the divine Manasaputra, into the seat of power. This can mean two things. That the actual solar angel, or returning near Bani, becomes the director, or that the man becomes egoically conscious and identifies as an ego, as a soul on the higher mental plane, and finds himself centered within his causal body. This task is preeminently entrusted to the three great lives who function through Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. The three great lives are lords of constellations. Sometimes, as I've said, the constellation may look simply like a configuration of stars, which is nothing real but is simply produced by our angle of vision. But according to DK, we have related solar logoi in what has been deemed a constellation, and they are great lives, greater than any of the solar logoi contained within the constellation and working through the stars of that constellation. So, we want to place the divine Manasaputra into the seat of power. Perhaps the angel of the presence is pretty much our own egoic structure. The solar angel is what it is, and the angel of the presence may be something different. Angel of the presence is not necessarily the same as the solar angel. Without the solar angel, there would be no angel of the presence, but it is the solar angel particularly which returns to the heart of the sun, or maybe some of them to the central spiritual sun, and not necessarily the angel of the presence. The egoic structure disappears and is absorbed into the triad and eventually into the monad, but it stays within the monadic field. The angel of the presence, the solar angel, does not stay within the monadic field. It returns. It returns to the source from which it was breathed forth. And you kind of wonder about this return, whether somehow Venus is involved in the return. Is there a winging back directly to the sun, or is Venus a point of absorption? Certainly, the quality of Venus and of the solar angels is very similar, with Venus being the higher prototype. So Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius, which he will discuss as aspects of mind, are those which bring the Manasaputra, the divine Manasaputra, the son of mind, into the seat of power. Well, we certainly do want to listen to our solar angel, because it really does look down and becomes engaged. We wish to attend to the directives of our solar angel, because it knows the plan and has had the human being under guidance and supervision ever since the work of the fifth petal. It's at that time we're told that the solar angel becomes truly interested in its developing human being and can do something. Before that time, it's pretty much the second aspect of divinity, which is responsible for the evolution in the earlier days through the hall of ignorance and maybe through the beginning part of the hall of learning. In the hall of learning, one is pretty much learning that one is a duality and has a higher self as well as a lower self. The hall of ignorance does not necessarily mean that the mind is not strong. It could be strong, even in the hall of ignorance, but it does not reveal the higher nature, so one remains ignorant of the higher nature. A point arises here which is of real moment, or perhaps I should say that a question might here be asked. How does it happen that one tiny non-sacred planet should be considered of such importance that these great lives should be concerned with the unfoldment of the mind of humanity and hence, if with the mind, thus with the relation of the human being to the Manasaputra or solar angel? The answer is that they are not. Well, this is Master DK manages to always put us in our place and to give us the kind of perspective we need in order to understand the small place of Earth and of microscopic man. That word somehow, you know, when you pull away from the Earth and you see it from a space station or from some vehicle that we have sent into the into space, we don't see man. We may see, maybe certain structures might be available, the outline of countries might be available, but we don't see man. Man is indeed, from the larger perspective, microscopic, and here we're talking about great lives, who are the informing lords of Aquarius, Libra, and Gemini. So the answer is that these great lives are not concerned with humanity per se, just as we are not concerned with certain cells or atoms in our body. If we do the right thing, they respond in the right way. It is humanity which, under the urge of great inflowing and outflowing energies, is concerned with the problem of mental development. And the problem of mental development, real mental development, will inevitably involve the solar angel or divine Manasaputra. Of course, the planetary logoi can be considered divine Manasaputra as well. Remember that they were developed from groups of solar angels. So, and the human being is not yet a divine Manasaputra. It's a son of mind, yes, but not yet divine. In the last analysis, the problem of response to and interpretation of the environing contacts is one which is found on every planet, and particularly upon the non-sacred planets, because apparently on the sacred planets it's no longer a problem. It has been on the sacred planets, it has been somewhat mastered. response to an interpretation of environing contacts. There's still ignorance here on these non-sacred planets, but greater and more rapid response to and easier understanding, intuitive understanding of, on the sacred planets, particularly on non-sacred planets. So there is a great flow of energies in which stream we find ourselves, and these energies will flow simply because of higher laws and the greater plan and intent of greater beings, and it's up to us to learn how to respond to them. The functions of the great lords is simply to keep the energy flowing and to keep their presence present and interacting with other beings on their own level, and this will provide an energy atmosphere in which we can progress. This response must be evoked not only in the fourth kingdom of nature, but in all kingdoms. And right now, our response to the greater energies is incomplete, certainly. Our solar system is one in which sensitivity to contact is the dominant quality. Thus, the relation of our solar system to Leo, the sign of sensitivity, and also Sirius, which is the brilliant star of sensitivity. So there's a strong, the most sensitive of the rays is the second ray. And we have a second ray solar system, and Sirius is an expression of the cosmic Christ with a strong second ray, at least monadically, and maybe in terms of whatever we can call its personality. So we live in a largely Buddhic, astral Buddhic solar system, and we are in this solar system initiates of the second degree from the systemic point of view. And wherever the astral body is involved, we have the sense of touch. And with the sense of touch, the question is of sensitivity to touch. So the astral body of our solar logos is very strong, and with it comes the issue of sensitivity to touch. The second of the senses associated with the astral body. We are not yet the initiate of the third degree, and perhaps on Sirius we have an issue that has much more to do with sight than with touch per se. It is in process of becoming cosmically aware. Cosmically aware, and I would say in a mental sense, as Sirius is. There are greater and lesser streams of initiation, and it seems to me, from page 384 of Cosmic Fire, that in a lesser series of initiations, our solar logos is passing through a fourth initiation, and when it passes through a lesser fifth, it will simultaneously become cosmically, mentally polarized, or will be a cosmic initiate of the third degree. So there are limitations of these great lords, and we cannot think of them as all-knowing and all-expansive and everywhere present in their consciousness, not yet. These great lords have the same kind of task as we do, to expand their consciousness into the cosmic environment, just as we are expanding our consciousness largely into the planetary environment. It is driven by need and by environing cosmic circumstance to develop love, wisdom, and both these words are descriptive and expressive of the consciousness aspect. So we have, this is the solar system of soul development for our solar logos. Perhaps the previous solar system was more the development of his personality development, and that personality, called Agni, still does exist, of course. We do not have a fourth degree initiate, Soto Logos, at which time the personality as originally constituted would disappear. And whatever seemed like a personality in the future could, in fact, be a Maya Virupa on a Soto Logoic level. So our Soto Logos is the grand heavenly man, and he is growing and unfolding in the same way as a human being does, driven by his own need for greater completion, and by environing cosmic circumstance which demands from him the him should be a capital him the expression of his quality, which is love, wisdom, and love and wisdom and consciousness are factors closely interrelated. Love is response to contact, and this in the human being means understanding, inclusiveness. This is one of those great quotes. You sometimes wonder where the quotation comes from. Yes, a very important couple of sentences. Love is response to contact, and this in the human being means understanding, inclusiveness, identification. Wisdom connotes skill in action as the result of developed love and the light of understanding. It is awareness of requirements, the ability to bring together into a fused relationship the need and that which will meet it. Service is essentially a scientific mode of expressing love wisdom under the expression of one or other of the seven rays according to the soul ray of the serving plant, of the serving disciple. Well, that is a wonderful, wonderful description. Really worth reading again. And perhaps worth amplifying a little bit into a slightly larger font so that it stands out. That love is a response to contact. And this in the human being means understanding, loving understanding, inclusiveness, not rejecting the one understood, but somehow holding that one close in relationship, and identification as the being that one understands. Wisdom is more on the hard line. It connotes skill in action as the result of developed love. The sensitivity shows one what one can do and cannot do, and the light of understanding of the energies and nature of the one for whom one is acting, on whose behalf one is acting. It is awareness of requirements, a more mental factor, and ability to bring together into a fused relationship the need and that which will meet it. And service is essentially a scientific mode of expressing love wisdom under the influence of one or other of the seven rays according to the soul ray of the serving disciple. It's hard to imagine a better definitions of love, wisdom, and service. And for that reason, I wish to go here into the AAB extracts. And this is Esoteric Astrology 494. And this is love, wisdom, service. Love, wisdom, and service definition. Okay. And then go to the AAB extracts, which, as I say, all of you are most welcome to have. There are just thousands of references here, which are excellent references, and which are illuminating seeds, illuminating references. Love is response to contact, and that, of course, can exist in other than human beings, but in the human being, this means understanding the one contacted, inclusion of the one contacted, identification with and as the one contacted. Excuse me. Wisdom connotes skill in action as the result of developed love, because if one does not respond, understand, include, one cannot know the type of energy to apply. It may be too much, too little. As a result of developed love and in the light of understanding, understanding the condition in which the one to be helped exists, it is awareness of the requirements and ability to bring together into a fused relationship the need and that which will meet that need. It is a psychic power to realize what one needs. Service is essentially a scientific mode of expressing love wisdom under the influence of one or other of the seven rays according to the soul ray of the serving disciple. This is so worth memorizing, wouldn't you say? For me, it suggests a little task of memorization, and I'd like to get into that. The whole problem is one concerning the planetary logos. I think what we'll do here is bring about the, we don't want that. We'll bring here the end to Esoteric Astrology 126A, end of EAA 126A, page 494, and beginning of Esoteric Astrology 126B, page 494. So we're in the middle of such important material. I mean, DK has said that the study of the science of triangles is the very foundation of Esoteric Astrology, but from a still, there's so much of practical worth given here. And, you know, he works with the power of association, so as he flows along in his dictation, certain important things come to him, and the place is right to bring these things forward. And here we have this great definition of love, wisdom, and service all together. So we will be back shortly and continuing. Until then.